I was asking God just last week, where's all my guys? Where's all my people? And and forgive me if I see this is the way it went this morning, as fast as I could write it, all the way into the driveway this morning, God was speaking. That was the last thing he spoke, so I wrote it up at the top here. And God spoke this to me. He said, and the first song we heard about control, bless you. And I believe through this series, there's people getting weeded out. I hate to say that word, but in the fact that God is challenging everyone in this room. Okay. And when he starts with a pastor like he has me, I know he's challenging you. So he challenged me just a couple weeks ago when I was going through a really tough week. And some things happened that's out of my control. And it was really tough. It brought me down. So what did I have to do? Pray. I had to pray and pray and pray and ask God. And sometimes God don't answer. Does anybody besides me hear nothing? Where are you, God? We heard this song yesterday, didn't we? What's the name of that song I was singing in there? At the, just do, you know, want God to do. What was that song? Anyway, are you God? And sometimes it's a still, small voice. Sometimes it's just a...
do something.
Yeah, do something. Lord, why don't you do something, that song? And the song is so anointed. And it says, because I chose you to do something. But as pastors, as preachers, we're failing sometimes to teach you how to do it in God's will and God's way. We're going to be over in 1 Corinthians. You can turn over there, 3. We're going to be over there a lot through our series, but this is way different than what I started and worked all week on or so. And so bear with me, because I'm telling you, this is a prophetic word. And you will learn about prophetic as we go on. And God gave me this word. He said, you can only understand that you can rely on nothing but me. When I said, where is everybody? Where's everybody gone? God says, you can't rely on man. You can't rely on money. You can't rely on your home. You can't rely on your job. You can't rely on nothing but me. Whew, that's a hard word. But it's the truth. You see, we get caught up in the world. And we get thinking, we've got this. I've got this all figured out. Well, guess what? We are clueless most of the time in our walk with God, especially when we're not close to God, especially when we're not relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, like the Word of God tells us. Is this touching anybody right now? You can't rely on anything in this world. You can't rely. Let me say this. You can't lean on your wife, your husband, but to a certain extent.
Not sure.
So why do we do it? Why do we trust everything but God? When He's down the list. Why? We say we need to let God be in control. Anybody know what that means? We heard that song earlier, the first one.
Eye of the storm. You remain in control.
You remain in control. Does He? Does He remain in control? Let's be honest.
I give it
to
take it back. Give it to take it back.
Yes. Oh. Amen, sister.
Carry on. Will Jesus take the wheel? Take it from my hand.
Yeah.
But see, like me, even myself, I like to drive. I'm a driver. I'm a type A personality. I like to be in control because I learned the hard ways of life that I can't trust even the clique I run with as far as I could throw them. You know? And it's also in family.
That's right.
It can be in your work front. It can be those people in church. Oh my, no, not in this church or any church. Yes. And so we're getting into wisdom. We're getting into wisdom and God's wisdom. So all this is starting to make sense, what God told me a few weeks ago. And I'm getting to my point. But these were last minute spoken words in the driveway. But God spoke to me and says, I don't want you to say that I want you to tell them, I, meaning God, we need to let you be in control, God. But He's saying, I want you and I, meaning me too, to want to let me in control. Let me say that again. I want you to want to let me be in control. That struck home. You've got to want to let God drive. You've got to want to let God be in control. And we don't most of the time. We still want to let ourselves be God. Step one, CR. You got to realize your life's unmanageable without Him. Without Him driving. Without Him in control. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Read with me in 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to go fast through this because I got less time than I wanted. But this is Paul, and you're going to, when we start studying wisdom here, I want you to see all throughout from 1 Corinthians 1 all the way through, Paul starts talking about wisdom, being wise, and all these things. Now, he said, everybody there say amen?
Amen.
Okay. In 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh. Why do you think Paul said that? When you start studying Corinthians, you find the reasons. They were a mess, wasn't they? Some of you know. So, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you're not able. Now, he goes on and says, for you are still what? Fleshly. For since there is jealousy, strife among you. are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? Well, when they put Paul put a question mark in there, it's challenging. Just like when God does, and He challenges you, like this word this morning. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another of Apollos, see, they were bickering amongst themselves, even about baptism and all these things that they were, you know, well, this what we do should do it this way, and this one this way, and this one this way. Well, I just don't believe. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It destroys churches. It destroys men and women of God. It's gossip. It's all these things that happen within people who are babies in Christ. They've not grown up on the meat yet. They've never wanted to, like the word God gives us, want to let God have control of their life. Because when you want God to have His way, to be the driving force of your life, then you start ready to be in the meat. Does that make sense? You're hungry. You're hungry for more. A baby, eventually, after so many months, what? Well, it grows up, but it goes on solid food. Can I tell you, the church itself are babies. Most of the people in the church, they know the Christianese words. They know, they hear righteousness and sanctification and a lot of these words. They hear them, but they are clueless to what they mean and what it means to be, to walk in them. Just like the gifts we're learning about ourselves and how we find them. So he goes on and he says, for when one says, I am Paul, and another Silas, or, you know, he says, and then, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? He goes on, next word, servants, through whom you believed, and even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. Lord, yes. I planted Apollos watered. You know what that means?
Yeah.
But God was causing the growth. If God is not causing the growth in your life, guess what? You're drying up. You're drying up. Your seed is withering. And I'm not going into it, but there's the seed that was planted, one on the solid ground, one on stony ground, one in the weeds. Okay? Y'all know that story. I'll preach that another time. But he goes on and says, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. He's speaking about himself. I am nothing. I'm a servant. I'm a servant of the Almighty God. I'm trying to tell you, don't follow me. Don't follow Apollos. He dealt with this also, and you hear about John dealt with this in the book of John about baptism and stuff, you know. And that's where he says, well, I must decrease that he must increase. That's what John's talking about. Don't look at me. I'm just a servant now. The King of Kings who you got to look towards. Amen?
Amen.
So he goes on and says in 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. I love this. God's building. God's building. We're His building. Somebody told me just the other day, God told me to clean up my house. Guess what? Every time He's told that in my life, it was painful. It was something that God wanted out of me. It was something that He needed control of in my life. That He knew to get to the next step in Him, I had to clean some stuff up. And that's what he's talking about. This is God's building now. The Holy Spirit lives in us now, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. What's that grace? God's given what? Ability, supernatural power on high. Okay? Was given to me as a wise master builder. And look what he says. I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is cornerstone. Without the cornerstone, that foundation will fall. Let me tell you, without Jesus in your life on a day-to-day basis, guess what? You're going to go back to what it says, you are flesh. For no man can lay a foundation, he says. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation, listen to this. I love it. He hits home with all the, it's like everything that's precious to man. What? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, wood, hay, straw. What's those things? Things they build houses on. But look at it in the spiritual too. Each man's work will become evident. Come on now, this is the key scripture. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. You build your house on straw and let it be tested with fire. What's going to happen? I'm going to go to my prophetic word in a minute. Y'all better hang on. Each man's works will be evident. For any man works which has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. You know what that means? Good or bad. It's your reward. You either build it on the cornerstone that lasts, or you build it on the things that are temporal. Another key scripture right here. If any man's works is built up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Do not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Excuse me. Let no man deceive you. If any man among you thinks that he is wise, look at this word, there it is, in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolish before God, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are useless. So then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All things belong to you. Remember what we're saying? Anybody can receive the gifts. They're for all and any of those things. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to you. Wow. He's talking about foundation for living. Now, real quickly, this is what the Lord spoke to me the other day. You remember, you know, a lot of times I'm cutting grass and doing all kinds of things. Well, I was poking a fire. Penny had a fire going out there burning a bunch of boxes and stuff. And I'm like, man, that thing stinks. It's just smoking. Gosh. You know, you put stuff, pages, a book won't burn, it'll just smoke and stuff. It'll just smoke. And the Lord began to talk to me about that smoke. Hear me, write this down. Whatever you got to do, I want you to understand. You see, he said, there's, where there's smoke, there's fire. That's what this message is about. Where there's smoke, there's fire. You ever heard that one? Most people's heard that one, the old saying, right? Well, it's true. There's probably something underlying there, right? In that, there's something underlying and could be, first point, a type of a reality to it. What is the first thing you think when you say, where there's smoke, there's fire, somebody?
Something's kindling.
Okay. In a context, so somebody, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's probably something to it, right? Remember that old, when somebody will say that sometimes, there's probably something to it. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever heard that? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard it from the Lord. This is that time I was going through. It was about me. Most of the time, it's about you. It's not about the other person.
Right.
Come on. This is hard stuff, but it's the truth. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Somebody may speak something in your life you won't like.
That's right.
Somebody may speak something, even in the flesh, that without the wisdom of God. And it still may be something underlying truth in that whole scenario. Okay? So good or bad, most likely there is an underlying foundation or something under there. You know what I did? I got my stick and I went over there and I poked that thing. Dang, I'm tired of smelling you. Old stinking thing just smoke and smoke, and it smoked the rest of the day and that end of the night. But I raised up some of those pages or, you know, from a book. And when I raised those things up, all of a sudden, poof, a flame come up. You see, underneath, come on, there's something maybe underlying in your life that where there's smoke, there's fire.
That's right.
There's something going on under there. God's beginning to speak in everyone in this room's life. God's beginning to show you things in your life. The reason these seats are not full, when things happen, God begins, you get closer, you draw near to God, He draws near to you. Guess what? Sometimes He'll poke the fire.
That's
sometimes
right.
He'll raise the page up to where the fire will show itself. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a word. That'll
now,
burn you.
Number two, if there's smoke, there's something about to burn out.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
It's the last thing from a fire you'll see, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I told you. It's a prophetic word. I'm telling you, there's something that fire may be burning out in someone right now in this room. You may be ready to quit. You may be ready to say, I'm done. These things that you've heard that are not coming from the wisdom of God. People can speak in your life and be so far off the truth that it will cause you to quit.
Come on.
It will cause you to give up on the fire of God that is He's wanting to get you to burn through the things of life that have the power, the dunamis we talked about, the power of the Spirit. Because the devil does not want you to walk in that same anointing, that same power, that gift from on high. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is something to make you a witness. And when he makes you a witness, the world hears it. The world hears the gospel. And that, my friends, is what he wants to destroy. The enemy wants to destroy it. He wants it to just, you can just flame up. Oh, glory to God. I've seen this for years in ministry. Come in and just on fire for God and just, and even can serve God, serve, go clean the church, do all kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you start preaching on sin or you start preaching about this or that. And guess what? Sister Sally Sue has something to say about it. And all of a sudden, the church, you're like, what in the world? Where did everybody go? And the next thing you know, what happened? It don't even take a bad sermon most of the time.
That's right.
All it takes is some of those things we know that destroy what God's trying to do. Quickly, third thing, it's up to us to either build on the promise of God and grow up or not. Paul's a little frustrated right here, okay? Let's be honest. Give you meat. I mean, I give you milk. But you're still flesh. I don't know the time period here, but he's like, and I guarantee you somebody in that church was trying to say, well, you need to do this, or you need to do that, or I just don't like the way the music's going. I think I'll just wait, and, you know, it just isn't my style. Well, can I tell you, if you ain't open to this, then guess what? You're going to be back out there in the world, walking in the flesh, walking on your own. I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but I'm telling you what, you're miserable. Miserable. Yeah, you can put drugs in your body. You can get alcohol. You can smooth it over with pills. Anything in your life. But I'm telling you, the power comes from the Holy Ghost. It has to come from the Almighty God. Everything we're going to be learning about in the mastering of these gifts comes from on high. It's supernatural. Can you say amen? Is somebody willing to say, I'm open still? Listen, I'm going to be here preaching. I'm going to be here worshiping. If there's one, if it's me and my wife, we're still going to be here. We've been there already and done that. Okay? It's up to you. Look what Paul said. I, brother, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh. Why? Look at this word right over here real quickly in 10. Wise. Is it on this one? The translation? I don't know which one you got it. Is it on that translation? Wise?
Yes.
Okay. What's the first thing you think about when you think about wise? Is this okay? I'm a few minutes over, but I think this is important because we're going into wisdom. What'd you say?
The owl.
The owl. Wise owl. Why is he wise?
I don't know.
He sees everything.
Okay. He can also turn his head around all the way around too, can he?
Oh, no.
Wow. It's another sermon. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit of God, listen to this. We don't allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead, we end up running out of everything we know on our own ability, and we find ourselves wrecked on the side of the road. Now, this is going to make sense when I read this about wise. And I'm going to go to you a little bit of teaching in the Greek real quickly about this word, okay? And I got to hurry, but it comes from 4680, this word wise. If I hadn't lost my pages, I'll get carried away sometimes. 4680. Got a lot of stuff here. Okay. Sophos is the word, okay? Sophos. And it talks about, the first thing it says is clear. You wouldn't think that, right? And wise?
Clarity of the mind.
Clear. Yeah. Wise. Is a most general application, wise. Now, it compares to 54:29. Mm-hmm. So I got to take you over there. 54:29. Let me mark that for you. 54:29, and this is what it says. Phormias, that's from 54:24, okay? And it says thoughtful, implying a cautious character, while 46:80, what I just said, denotes practical skills, and our 49:08 indicates rather intelligence or mental acquirement. In this sense, it's a bad sense of conceited. That word, Paul's bringing out. You are conceited. But let's just bring it down. The wisdom that you think, and we're going to be talking about this natural wisdom versus godly wisdom. Now, this word right here, this is pretty cool right here. 54:24 I mentioned. It says, let me go to, compared to 54:20. Listen to this. 54:20 says, it's like a fence enclosed to block up and to stop. Okay, and but it in 24 is talking about a partition of the body, the midriff, to rein in like a curb. And the Lord spoke to me this morning. What does a curb do?
Keeps you from running off the road.
Yes, it sure does.
Boundaries. Boundary.
Fence stand. Boundary. Is you getting it? You see, there's two instances this word wise is used. But in this instance, he's addressing the fact that these people think, I got this figured out. I got this thing figured out. I'm okay. You know, it's all right. Y'all know what I'm saying? And then he's going on and he's saying, but said the wise, the master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. So right there he took it off. It's not talking about Jesus is building this thing. You're building this thing. And if you're building this thing, guess what? It shall fall. It says in the Bible, it's like building a man building his house on the sand. In the sand, guess what's going to happen? It's going to wash away. It's going to fall down. But if you build on the wise man builds upon the cornerstone, not the natural wisdom of God. Look on down there where he says, in 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise, this is the word, is wise in this age, let him become foolish that he may become wise. Two different wise. We're going to talk about after Easter, natural wisdom versus wisdom of God. The difference is, we have God-given wisdom. God-given wisdom. But yet there's something more. It's a wisdom of God Himself. Grab hold of this. If Christ is in you, like we're going to talk about next week, you have all wisdom at your hand. whew, I get good. There's no reason why we should even struggle. There isn't. We can be wise beyond our own ability. Y'all getting this? Now I'm going to close. So, possibly, just possibly, there's a lot of deception going on amongst the body of Christ. We're no different, even if we're a little, small church. It's very easy to get led astray. Veer off the road, jump the curb. And guess what? What I said? Find yourself wrecked. It's a miserable place when you're away from God. It's a miserable place when you're not being led by the Spirit of God. How many know what I'm talking about? You're like, I don't know what to do. Everybody's done it. I've done it. I do it all the time. But I'm telling you, there is something we're going to learn. And if you learn about the wisdom of God, you know, it's even way beyond Solomon's wisdom. Whoa. Who was Solomon? Says in the Old Testament, he was what?
The
wisest man.
Wise king. Wisest man. Guess what, oh? No, he wasn't from the New Testament. Why? Because of Christ. That's why he had to send another, Holy Spirit. If we can tap into this, guys, gals, guess what? We can walk in wisdom. We can walk in freedom. We can walk in the blessings of the Lord. And then we're getting into the wisdom of knowledge, which is a different gift, but it works hand in hand. Okay? I could go on, but I've got to stop. All right. One of the things we're learning in our classes we're taking right now is pattern behaviorals. Is the ERB. It sounds like a tax. Like ERB. Anybody, tell them what that stands for, Penny.
Environment.
Relationships.
And biological.
And biological.
For biology.
Everything basically functions around these three things in life, in patterns in our lives, either environmentally, relationally, or behavioral, biological behaviorals.
Okay.
So, ask yourself this morning, is there some unhealthy patterns? Is there some things you need to lay down for the Lord to get wise? Or are you going to go in the natural still, in that one word? Or do you want the one word that he's talking about be clear, that one word? Clear can only happen from up here. The clarity of God. He makes all things clear, and it always comes to here, the mind. That's the battle. All right. We're going to pray. If anybody wants prayer, I'm willing to pray with anybody. The carpet's open. I just want you to really focus right now on you. Okay? Where you're at. Where there's smoke, is there fire? Is maybe God been putting his finger on something? If somebody spoke, did this word speak something to you? That there's something underlying in your life that needs to get gone. Or it's something that needs to rise up. And the fire of God needs to take control. If that's you this morning, you raise your hand, I'll pray for you right where you're at, or you can come up, it doesn't matter, okay?